The only station on the web that has it all. WIRN, the World Internet Radio Network.
Past the hour here on WIRN, the World Internet Radio Network. I want to thank everybody for tuning in from WindowsMedia.com, and that was Adam in the Wait. Speaking of Adam in the Wait, I have Adam Kowalczuk on the studio line with us. What's up, Adam?
Hey, James. How are you? Good to hear from you.
Oh, I'm doing great. So why don't you first start telling everybody, you know, before we really dive into the life of Adam, so to speak, why don't you tell a little bit about yourself, a little brief synopsis of who Adam Kowalczuk is?
Well, here's the thing. I just had someone, I brought up this the other day. Adam, who Adam is different than what Adam has done in the past and is musically, so on and so forth. So it's a different kind of question. But the truth of the matter is, if I could say I'm from York, Pennsylvania, that would be true. And I've been writing songs since I was about 12. Some good, some not so good. And currently live in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, after about a 4.5 year stint in Los Angeles, and decided to come back and keep working on music. And that's about where I'm at, living.
There you go, there you
nowadays,
go.
Nowadays, but maybe not who I am.
Right on, right on. And we're gonna get to some of the stuff that you're actually working on here in just a little bit. Now, so you were from Pennsylvania, went out to L.A., and back now are back in Pennsylvania. What brought you from L.A. back to Pennsylvania? I know most artists and stuff like that usually, you know, move from, you know, whether it's Pennsylvania, Virginia, you know, New York, whatever, out to L.A. and stay out in L.A. What brought you back?
I think I had the freedom to be able to do so. I found a lot of people who moved to Los Angeles don't necessarily feel like they can leave. And I was in a position that I could come and go as I pleased. I mean, a lot of people, it's easy to get sucked up into Los Angeles and just, you know, beating yourself to death, trying to get played, trying to get air, trying to sell records, so on and so forth, and make all these things happen. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, if you're not happy, if you're not in a place where you're happy, then you're really not going to do your best work, and you're not going to do stuff that makes you feel good. So I just think it was more of an experiment to see if I could leave after being there for 4 years and continue to do what I do and be happy at the same time. And I'm glad to say, and I'm grateful to say that I've been able to accomplish that.
Now, we do have to touch on this a little bit because sure. everybody does know that you are a, what would we call it? Are you an official member of the band Live? Are you a touring member? What's your actual job title with your brother's band?
Well, you say job title because on my W-2s, it says songwriter and singer and a musician, so that makes me feel pretty good as far as being able to say that that's my occupation. My job title with the remaining members of the band, I would say at this point, is touring, you know, helping out on tour and playing on stage. But now, you know, we're at the end of 8 years, so I'm curious to know myself as well, to be able to tell people in your position and whomever that asks what my title is and what, you know, what kind of responsibilities I have. Obviously, I'd love to be able to be a part of the writing process, but there's such a wealth of writing already going on between my brother and the remaining members of the band that I don't know if that window's open. I'm curious to know if I can open it, that's for sure.
Right on.
So I'd say I'm there to play rhythm guitar and sing my heart out and do 110% if I can.
There you go. So now let me ask you this. You with your solo career here and stuff like that, because you know what, I can, this is how I would describe it. You know, that's like your day job, you know, and you're trying to, you know, get yourself out there as a solo artist, you know, and that's really where, you know, I personally feel you want to be is you want to be known as Adam, you know, you want to be kind of separated from, you know, your brother. But however, that brings in the bread probably right now, I assume.
Absolutely does. This, actually, I will say this, that Live affords me the opportunity to work at my own pace on my music, so I can take advantage of certain opportunities that come my way that really isn't a conflict of interest.
Right.
So it's almost like a double-edged sword. Like, how much do I want from them? How much responsibility do I want? Or do I enjoy having what I have now? You know, so it's a tricky kind of thing, but I do enjoy, obviously I'd love to make, you know, Adam Kowalczuk's songwriting quote-unquote prowess, you know, be the breadwinner, but at this juncture, that's not the case. And, you know, I have a great time writing and writing at my own pace, the way it is now. So,
well, I tell you, you know, I love the music, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, I was like, you know, let me get Adam on the show. You know, I really like his music. I really dig it.
Thank you, buddy.
You know, and that's why, you know, we contacted you, and lo and behold, here you are.
There we go.
Right on. Now, let me ask you this. So you must get a lot of other jealous bands out there and musicians out there, you know, that are kind of in the independent arena, so to speak, saying, oh, well, Adam must be jumping on, you know, and capitalizing on, you know, his brother's band's success, you know?
I think that would be more the case if I didn't already play with them and they didn't hire me to do the job that I do, that I've done for 8 years. I think I'd probably carry that as a weight on my shoulder if that weren't the case. But I've been around the world with them. I've seen plenty of people, and I've seen hundreds and thousands of bands. And I just think that I get to keep my feet in the independent area, and I also get to see a major entity of the touring world as it goes along. You know, I get to share in both worlds, both independent and a major label act.
And you know what's funny too is when you hit it big like this, you know, you already know, you know, the do's and don'ts of touring, you know, worldwide, so to speak.
Absolutely, and I love your wishful thinking. Thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, no, you know what?
Any record labels are listening, I'm willing to work.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, let me ask you this, Adam. Are you single? Are you married? Are you with a significant other? Or?
I am single. I have a significant other. I am. Did you see how I stuttered during that question? I am not married, though.
Okay, right on. Now, she's obviously very... I always have to ask musicians this because, you know, really, I mean, it has a lot to do with someone trying to make it big as a musician. Is she very supportive of your career and, like, behind you 100%?
Yes. It's a strange thing because it can be a prick sometimes. So I get kind of bent out of shape if someone's too all about it, or if they're not about it at all. It's like it's either extreme. But she keeps it right down the middle, and I love her for it. It's very nice.
Right on. So you've been there and done that, and you know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
and why I'm asking that question.
Oh yeah, I've been there and done it.
Awesome. So let's give out your web address and stuff like that so people can go check out your website while we're speaking here.
Obviously, I'm on myspace.com / Adam Kowalczyk, and that's Kowalczyk. And I also have a website, adamkowalczyk.com, which also goes to what, in essence, is Adam in the Way. So anything that is encompassed in Adam in the Way, I am involved. It's just not necessarily the same members of
right
that
on.
Musical project.
Right, but you are Adam in the Weight then.
Correct.
Okay, right on. It's just sometimes band members change and stuff
yeah.
like that.
Yeah, for different records or different songs, even that I feel a different type of musicianship would work better, and performing as well.
Well, now how do you? Okay, how? I mean, your schedule must be really hectic and hellacious, you know, with touring, with live when they're touring, and trying to. You know, perform yourself as Adam in the Weight. I mean, how do you sit there?
It's very taxing, and I find it difficult to do both. But basically, because if we go on as Live Does a World Tour and we do so much flying and traveling and playing a lot of shows during the week, you have to adjust when you get home. You need to give your body time to adjust, and then to throw in a whole new catalog or a different catalog of music that is my own takes a bit more time because I want to. It's still closer to my heart. You know, it's very special to me, so I don't want to go out just doing it as I'm going through the ringers. I don't want it to seem like I'm just doing it to do it,
right?
Because I care,
right? So now you are going to be playing at the Chameleon Club, I believe, at the end of this month, correct?
Correct, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. It's on December 23rd, Eve's Eve, at about 9 p.m. This will be with a full band. So
awesome!
Excited about it.
Right on. So now how does that work? Is that like, I mean, do you know some of these members of the band, or you just kind of hire a backup band? How does that work?
The current lineup is the gentleman that helped me make the most recent recording called the Dream EP. The drummer, Paul Murr, the engineer and co-producer, Adam Contis, also plays guitar. A gentleman by the name of Mike Giblin that played bass. And we just decided just to keep playing the songs because they grew, you know, they grew together, and I guess we all just wanted to be a part of it when it was performed, so... just kept playing together.
Right on.
And I'm adding keyboard, a great keyboard player from time to time by the name of Nate Van Name.
Mm,
and you're a really, really good addition, and I'm hoping he wants to keep doing what he's doing, because it's very refreshing to have that instrumentation involved.
All right. Now, do you have any other dates after the Chameleon Club lined up for Adam and the Weight?
Nothing for Adam and the Weight. It's kind of dry right now. I'm waiting to see. I'm putting some positive vibes out in the universe that Spain, the country of Spain, is going to bring me over for a solo tour. There's something brewing in the works, and I'm putting all my good vibes on it.
Now, why Spain?
There was a gentleman that had contacted me through the website about the possibility, I'm patiently waiting its fruition, because it sounds very, very exciting.
Well, there you go. Well, I'll tell you, we're listening worldwide here on the web, and you never know. You never know. Now, if people want to, like, request having you, like, in their town or their city or anything like that, I mean, are you up to gigging pretty much anywhere as long as, you know, the offer's
well,
right?
I don't have to, you know, obviously it wouldn't make good business sense to drive halfway across the country for $100 and a pizza. But the exposure is great. I think I've done enough in my 31 young years that hopes, you know, I hope that I can get there for a bit more than that, because I'd love to play, and I want to play for anybody and everybody that would have me. I think the easiest way is probably to contact me through the website and the contact page on adamkowalczyk.com.
There you go. Speaking of 31 years of age, I believe we are pretty much exactly the same age, you know.
There you go.
But like I was telling you off air, and I have to mention this on air, okay? And this is something where, you know, you never know what's going to happen. You know, I was just cruising MySpace, and MySpace is a great tool, and we'll get to that in just a second.
Okay.
You know, I found you that way, and I'm like, man, that name sounds familiar. Where did I hear him from? You know, where do I hear that name from? You know, because it sounded so familiar. And I remember, and I told you it was 15 years ago, you know, on the phone earlier during the day, and I started thinking, it wasn't 15, it was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I saw you in Washington, D.C. at the 930 Club with the band Portion at the time.
The old 930 Club, I bet.
Yes, it was the old 930 Club, absolutely, yes.
That was the room the old 930 Club had a pole right in the middle of the stage, right on the floor.
Right,
At night, we had opened up for a band called Luna.
Okay, all right.
I also think, if my memory serves me correctly, in the basement they used to have shows as well. And Green Apple Quickstep was playing downstairs, I think. You remember that band?
It vaguely sounds familiar. I'll tell you, I went to go to my girlfriend that I was dating at the time dragged me to the 930 Club, because I had just moved to the Washington, D.C. area, and actually it just met her, and I was kind of like on the verge of trying myself personally to have a music career or go into the radio career, so to speak, you know, and...
Sure.
You know, that's when I saw you, and, you know, she didn't mention anything, you know, and I think that was about the time that Live started to enjoy their success as well.
Sure.
And, you know, I had no idea that, you know, that's who you were and stuff like that, you know, until, you know, the name kind of clicked, you know, later on down the road, you know, and I was like, you know, let me look at some albums here. And I believe of some Live albums, and I believe you're actually, you know, credited on a few of their albums, you know, and I was
that
like...
That feels good. From Throwing Copper, they gave me a thank you as well, and then I actually had the fortunate enough to play on two releases as well, and this here and Five, I believe.
Right, and you had a big part in, or did you, I'm not sure if you did or if I heard this correctly somewhere or whatever, but you had a big part in, like, with the song Dolphins Cry, right?
Yeah, I played guitar on it in the studio. I played on the record, but I wasn't part of the writing process. But I did get to play on that song.
Hell, as a musician, being able to play on that song, I feel that's a big part. I'm sorry, you know.
Oh, that's a big deal. Yeah, no, it was great. I remember in the studio, they weren't quite sure if they were going to keep my rhythm guitar track, because it was just Ed and I, and he was singing and I was playing to him, and they ended up keeping. So I was very, very honored.
Right on. So now let me ask you this. Okay, going from, I mean, whatever happened to the band Portion? You guys just all moved your separate ways, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I think we were reaching an age where it was, you know, I guess I wanted to do more. I guess it's probably myself being selfish in a sense, but I wanted to do more in different instrumentation. I wasn't quite sure if the remaining members wanted to go in the same direction. And we had started going through drummers, and once you start picking out drummers and trying people out, it's some of that original magic kind of dissipates. And I think we started that maybe too early. I'm not sure, but I guess we were just all going through changes, you know?
Right on, right on. So now, at what point, you know, and how did it all come about, you know, you going from Portion, did you have any projects after Portion, or?
I started playing, just playing some solo shows. With the new songs that I was writing, I started writing quite a bit, and I wanted to just see how they felt, just myself. And, you know, for a singer-songwriter, it's always easier to take the blame than it is to put it on your band members. I mean, some would think it would go the other way, but it's not the case, because if you screw up, you can laugh about it. If somebody beside you screws up, you're not going to be laughing.
Right on, right on. So now, at what point does, you know, your brother or whoever from the band Live suggest you playing, you know, with them, you know, and kind of putting...
You mean when did it happen?
Yeah, like when did it happen, and kind of like, you know, I mean, you had to weigh out some options there, obviously, right?
Sure, sure. I was working at a company in York, Pennsylvania that fabricated countertops, working in the office and on office programs, basically, and doing this, and then out of the blue, Chad Taylor called me, and I distinctly remember cutting off four customers of this place. To say, excuse me, what did you say? That they were asking if I'd be interested in maybe covering some of his guitar parts so he could concentrate on singing. And not that he needed to, but it would just added a different element to it. And like I said, I cut off four people, and he sent me some new material, and I started rehearsing it. We did a few rehearsals together, just him and I. And then I had tryouts in Lititz, and after two songs, they came back in with thumbs up, so it felt pretty cool. I remember my brother looking over at me and just saying, "Just sing, keep singing, keep singing." And I was singing these backgrounds that I guess they didn't have prior to, and it was exhilarating.
Awesome. Yeah, you do bring a flavor to it, you know. I can remember. You know, I have seen Live, I think, a few times in concert. Once was, you know, during the Throwing Copper days, and then I believe I saw them not too long ago with the Distance to Hear album, I believe. Sure. And I'm not really sure you probably were with them or not, you know.
Yeah, at the time.
But, you know, I remember seeing an extra person, which obviously was you, you know.
Right, right. Well, Chris Thorne from Blind Melon had done quite a good bit of work with them with that record as well, and he wanted to go on and do some other stuff, and that's when I got the call.
Wow, you know, that must have been a really exciting day, and
put in my 2 weeks notice about a week later.
I wouldn't have been given 2 weeks notice. I would have been like, I'm out of there, see ya, you know.
I got some work to do. Yeah, but there were some great people at that company, so I didn't want to run out on them.
So I mean, that had to be like you know working, you know, basically, you know, at an office, you know, and then next thing you know, doing something you've always dreamed about.
Absolutely, and I've always been a fan of Isla, and I used to sell T-shirts and tapes and help break down gear at certain shows. And always, you know, I've always been a fan.
Right, right.
And always watched.
So now, how is your relationship with your brother? I mean, are you guys close? I mean, you guys talk a lot or that kind of thing?
We end up texting a lot.
the modern technology, you gotta love it.
The technology of a phone, it can really help you forget somebody's voice. Amazing.
Right.
Just text. But I would say our relationship's good. We have it can be tricky at times, obviously, because we're brothers and we work together. I tend to forget that when we're touring, we're there for business, it's work. We gotta tune in and entertain and expose ourselves and give up all this energy to these people, so I tend to forget that. But then when we come home, we do talk. Like I said, more texting than talking, and always calling, checking on his kids.
Right on, awesome.
I'm looking forward to a closer relationship in the future.
Right, right. Now, do you have any new albums coming out or anything like that in the near future that your fans should be looking forward to? Or?
Well, I don't. I have finished two songs in the studio that I haven't put the mixing touches on just yet. I'm waiting to set up a new studio/rehearsal room that I can get creative in and have my free will to record whenever I'd like. As far as like a process, finished product, calling it a record, that's going to be quite a ways out.
Right on. Now, before we actually let you go here, I have a couple more questions for you. First of all, tell us a little bit about the song that we're going to hear here in just a moment, The Ocean.
The Ocean was a song written in Los Angeles a couple years ago and performed with the primary lineup of Adam and the Weight. And I was going through some stuff, and truth of the matter is I was having discussions with friends and trying to figure out what was going on and where I needed to go, and I had a hard time of just letting go and giving up, taking my mind through the gutter back and forth with things instead of just living the life and letting go and dealing with what the universe provides. So that basically this Ocean song came out of that. I don't know how much more detail I want to go into it, because it kind of might take away from the lyrics and keep the mystery unalive. So I think I'll leave it at that.
Right on. Now, I always have to ask every independent artist this question, okay? What do you think about file sharing?
File sharing. I will say this. I think that I'm at an age now that I didn't hit the boom of file sharing when it first came out. So I think I'm quite behind on it. Truth of the matter is, it does involve sharing music, and also involves sharing music of independent art. What I was going to say, we were going to talk about MySpace earlier.
Oh yeah, I forgot to ask you all about the MySpace questions.
Jesus! I embrace MySpace just the same, because it is a huge tool, and I'm a proud owner of a MySpace account. I love the fact that people write to me, listen to my music, and comment. My next statement would be how independent. You would think MySpace is this independent thing for independent artists and underground musicians. The truth of the matter is, how independent really is MySpace?
we don't even want to go there. Okay.
MySpace is the new millennium's independent. It's like it's the new millennium's major tool.
Right.
And if record labels are in a place that they can embrace that, and then it might transcend back into the good times of being able to sell records. It's just a matter of whether or not they can harness the two together and make that less independent or more independent. I don't even know. Now I'm confused. But the grand scale, MySpace really isn't about independent music anymore.
Right. No, it's all over. I mean, all sorts of bands are on MySpace and stuff like that. And really, MySpace is the way I look at MySpace is it's a big, huge banner or commercial, so to speak, to point to your website, your .com. That's all I look at MySpace as,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
And that's how bands should really use it, you know, and
it's still,
like
I mean,
that.
It's still, you know, independent artists tend to shy away from some of the demons that are the business. But you can't, I mean, you have to have some sort of business sense to understand that it's great that people get a hold of your music and find out what you do. Because I think part of the dream for any musician is to do it as a career, to do it as a job. And I'd say I'm fortunate to be able to do that, whether it's playing rhythm guitar live and writing when I can. So it's a touchy subject, just because MySpace really isn't that independent. It's a big thing to be embraced.
Right on. Now, I will tell you, and I think you'd probably be for this, okay? I always ask this question to all the independent bands out there that I have on the show, whether it's Indie Music Weekends or whether it's All Request Hour, you know, I always ask the question. And I forget the name of the band that put it really elegantly, okay? You know, they said they don't care about the file sharing. It gets their name out there. However, okay, if you're going to, you know, share someone's music or, you know, file share or whatever you call it, okay, go out and at least see that band in concert or buy a t-shirt. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Buy the record, buy the EP. A lot of bands make EPs that are $5. You know what I mean? If you're going to share their music, say there's one song off of an artist's record that you enjoy, or it's an EP, you just took that song for free.
you just jacked them pretty much.
Enjoy that song for the rest of your life. You enjoy that song forever. Just got it for free. It's like, you know, you can afford to buy an EP. You can afford to buy an LP from a band whose first song you really, really enjoy.
Right on.
Most cases, they're not $16.95 or $18.95. They are record books. $10 on iTunes.
Right on. Now we can get your music on iTunes?
Yes, you can find the current record, the Dream EP, on iTunes. And most of, actually all of my songs from both records are on IndieTunes.
Okay.
For download and for purchase as well.
Now, can people purchase, do you actually have a merchandise site on your website? Like, people,
I do have a page on my website that has t-shirts and some photos and the current record available.
Now, what I'm asking here is, a lot of these, other third-party, sellers such as iTunes and IndieTunes and all that,
sure,
they take a cut, basically.
Absolutely.
From the artist. Do you sell stuff directly from your website where you get, the 100%
Absolutely.
Profit?
Absolutely.
That's where I'd like to see people go. And again, your web address is?
AdamKowalczyk.com.
Awesome. Now, Adam, give out your gig information that's coming up here at the end of December, your web address.
Pennsylvania, Chameleon Club, along with Eric Masick and Ralph Reel. It's an upstairs show, 21 and over, 9 p.m. ChameleonClub.net is their website.
Awesome, awesome. And people,
I want to wish everyone a happy new year.
Absolutely, absolutely. And everybody go, if you're in the Pennsylvania area or in that whole entire Mid-Atlantic area, definitely.
That's right, it's not far.
Right, definitely go check out the Chameleon Club, a couple days before Christmas, the 23rd, correct?
Yep.
Awesome, and we're going to kick it off here with Adam and the Wait. I want to thank you for coming on the All Request Hour, Adam, here on the World Internet Radio Network. Any last words you'd like to give out to the listening audience?
Be safe, drive home safe, and surf the net safe.
There you go. This is this is Adam and the Wait and the song Ocean right here on the All Request Hour here on the WIRN, the World Internet Radio.
The only station on the web that has it all, WIRN, the World Internet Radio Network.
Indie Music Weekends. You're live on Indie Music Weekends.
Hi, I just wanted to call and say that I love the show and like listening to all the indie music that you have.
What's your favorite radio station?
The World Internet Radio Network.
Hey man, I was just wondering if I could hear some Urban Hate Machine.
All right, no problem. What's your favorite radio station?
The World Internet Radio Network.
All right, thanks for calling Indie Music Weekends. Hi, this is JB, host of Indie Music Weekends. Don't forget to tune in to Indie Music Weekends Sundays at 8 p.m. Eastern right here on WIRN, the World Internet Radio Network.